cuts are coming. That's the message from DCAL to the Arts Council. The group expect their 2016-17 budget to be reduced by almost 6%. As a result, most of the arts organisations they fund will get no additional grant money this year. Here's what Bob Collins, Chair of the Arts Council, told Good Morning Ulster.
The Arts Council has, and the arts community, have always recognised that we live in very difficult times. The real issue, though, is the cumulative impact of the series of reductions that have taken place over the last number of years. 25% of government funding has been vanished in the last 3 years alone. The arts are seen to be less central, can be seen to be less relevant, and in times of difficulty can be seen to be less of a priority. I contend, the Arts Council contends, anybody who's involved in the arts will know that the contrary is the case. The arts are as central to people's lives as the importance of a good education, as the importance of health, as the importance of any other element that fulfills the individual. Not only are they good in themselves, not only are they part of a critical expression of what it is to be human, they have immense benefits in terms of education, in terms of health, in terms of employment, in terms of economic development, in terms of tourist attraction. That's not the principal reason why one invests in the arts. One invests in the arts in the same way as one invests in education, to develop people, to make all of us better, more fulfilled citizens, which enable us then to lead more complete lives, but also to make a more substantial contribution.
Well, is this the case of the arts being targeted again? Are we missing the point here? Are we missing the point of the importance of the arts? Or, in a time when money's tight, is it actually the best place to make savings? Niall McCaughan, Chief Executive of Derry Playhouse. Morning, Niall.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. The commentator, Geoffrey Peel. What do you think, Geoffrey?
Well, I would agree with what the chairman of the Arts Council has just said, in that, you know, arts are important. They're good for, you know, developing the mind. And so my question would be whether, however, they need to be funded by the public purse. You know, the default position by many people is that arts can only exist if the public is funding them, and that's patent nonsense. Many people expose themselves to artistic endeavours provided by the commercial sector. And in fact, the commercial sector is extremely capable of providing very stimulating artistic endeavours, you know, and it's not just in terms of, you know, mass market activities like cinema and music, but also in terms of funding organisations that appeal to niche audiences.
So, like, in other words, now, McCaughan, why put public money into it? Let the commercial free market fund it.
Yeah, I suppose, Stephen, I mean, we do have a history of, receiving kind of funding from government, and that's right across the UK. And sadly, that's the way the arts over a number of years has been resourced. And but I would say to you that over a number of years, we have tried to become more sustainable. And in fact, now every arts organisation, it's something that the Arts Council have been driving, is looking to see how they can bring in additional funding from outside the Arts Council directly itself. But the thing is, we don't have the big business. Sadly, here we don't. You know, business here are not majorly geared towards working, you know, with arts organisations in relation to funding. And we do get some funding from arts from business of one type or another. But we do need that. But we do need that as sub attention from, you know, from council of one type or another. And that really needs there. Sorry, that's here. Sorry, my phone here is going off here at the moment in the background. Sorry about this here. But, you know, we do need to have, as I said, we do need to have funding. And, you know, it's this cocktail of funding that makes arts work. But as I said, in our organisation within the Playhouse, we've been able to bring in more and more funding from
It's the usual argument, though, isn't it, that's been had many, many times in terms of, do you think that the arts actually reaches out to all of the community?
It does. I mean, can I just say to you, very simply...
You can tell me about school children, and I'll hear that, and I know school children will visit different plays and organisations within the arts, but for the type of person that has never been to the arts, kind of sees it as a snobby, elitist thing to do. Where's the effort to reach out to that person?
And to be honest, Stephen, just speaking personally, that's why our organisation set up, because many years ago we had felt that there was this perception from a lot of people that the arts is simply classical music and opera, and that's not saying anything against those two, but the arts wasn't really touching the common person. And the thing that we have been involved in is working with all types of arts, working out in the community. And just in relation to the Arts Council themselves, I mean, their own statistics show that 79% of arts funding is geared towards the most deprived areas in Northern Ireland. And we know that particularly here in the Northwest. We would work with communities particularly around Derry and further afield. And it certainly is very, you know, it's working for some very challenging communities. And it's the only contact they have with the arts is through organisations like ourselves. It's not that work isn't been done by companies or isn't been done by council. It's been done by organisations here making that investment. And that investment, then some of it indirectly comes from central government. But also, Stephen, we do bring in funding from European funding, from trusts, and we do actually have like box office here, whatever. And that all, it's that all cocktail of funding which makes the arts happen and it makes that change in people's everyday lives right across the Northwest and further afield.
Geoffrey?
Well, you know, to suggest that this is the only contact that people get with the arts, these niche activities, it's just nonsense. You know, most people these days subscribe to online services like Netflix and YouTube. YouTube is a great example of where the community, people out there, ordinary individuals, can create art and have it seen by millions. You know, Netflix has created some of the best television drama that we have seen.
Yeah, but do you really not think government should control at least part of what a community is able to deliver to its local populace, Geoffrey?
Absolutely not.
Everything should be a YouTube free for all, rather than government have at least some type of strategy around it.
I certainly don't think the government should control anything in terms of the arts. And in fact, the Arts Council, to give it its due, you know, is indeed separate from government. And also, I should actually compliment the Arts Council. They have reduced their cost base. They've moved into cheaper premises. They've reduced staffing. So at least that's a move in the right direction.
If I listen to your logic, Geoffrey, which is essentially let the market dictate, then all of the grand buildings, the opera houses, etc., the concert halls, the architecture within
some of those beautiful buildings would
not have been around unless state money was allocated.
Actually, that's not true. If you look, for example, at the Royal Albert Hall in London, that was funded by private money. Many of these grand institutions, like the Carnegie Institution, have funded many of the greatest places for art in the world. You know, we have philanthropic organisations that fund many, many arts endeavours and should be encouraged. And maybe even we need to think about matched funding. That's an alternative. You know, for every pound of public money, at least surely they could get equal matched funding from the commercial sector.
And that's
a good way forward.
And how do you start to decide, Niall, where the public money goes? I know there's committees and processes and all of that, but why should some kid in his garage playing punk, whatever it is, rap or whatever all these things are now, you know, why is he not deserving of taxpayers' money in the same way the Ulster Orchestra is, for example?
But I have to say that, I suppose, again, speaking personally, a lot of our work is working with those sort of kids. And, you know, we have only yesterday, kind of, we unveiled kind of a piece of graffiti work. We're working with young people here and actually the local police. And one of the things we're working with is looking at kind of community issues, but using, for example, graffiti art and that part too. Anyway. But we do use,
what is graffiti
funding.
Art?
And for example, like you're talking about match funding. But
what is graffiti art?
Graffiti art is actually as art is kind of stylized art. You know, people like Banksy and other sorts of arts, and it's taken, I suppose, graffiti to a new level. But it's not the graffiti that you see under bus shelters or around about. It's more the artistic element of it, and giving kids an opportunity to express themselves using art. But it's actually kind of more street art. But it's quite stylized.
Here's John in Belfast.
Huh?
Morning, John.
Yep. Hello, Stephen. I despair listening to these people. 3 weeks ago...
Maybe they despair listening to you.
Just despair. 3 weeks ago, it was voted through Parliament that disabled people will lose £30 a week from their ESA payments. That has went through Parliament. It wasn't changed yesterday in the budget. And there is these people on talking about they're going to get a 6% cut in their funding. Disabled people are losing £30 a week. They have to take their belts around losing that money. And now they're on a moaning and groaning about 6% cut in funding
Niall?
For the arts.
I have to say to you that when you look at the arts budget in Northern Ireland, of the total budget, it is 1/1000th of the total budget. It is minuscule. An entire budget for arts way back in 2010 was around 14 million, and now it is reduced to 10 million. And I have to say, like, it's so minuscule in relation to all the things. And it's the one thing in relation to health, it has been proven, and that's why if you go into hospitals now, you see public art and artists working in with young children and with all sorts of people. The arts is used in education, it's used in health. We at the moment are working particularly with young people who've left school with no qualifications. What we do is we teach key skills using the arts to do it, and that's where the arts particularly come out in their own. And it's just sometimes people are caught up in thinking that art is simply producing kind of fancy paintings and all sorts.
Go on, John.
It's a lot more than that. A lot more than that.
Well, we can give one example.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's
at Victoria Hospital.
Yeah.
On the roundabout. How much did that cost?
I don't know.
The balls and the falls.
Yeah. How much did that cost?
Well, do you know what? To be fair, it's iconic. People talk about it. You know, if you start going on like this, John, you would have nothing in your city. You wouldn't even have a park bench, for goodness sake. You'd have no landmarks at all. What would Jim Rogers do in his spare time? Norman and Bangor. Morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen.
Not
Stephen.
You. I thought that might have been quite possibly another Norman and Bangor.
No, it's me, Stephen. Stephen, John's right. We have people at food banks with cancer patients can't get their drugs, with people who can't heat their homes. And it was costing, the last time I heard, $4 million for the Ulster Orchestra. We have enough millionaires and billionaires in this country to pay for the arts. So let them dip into their pockets and let them pay for it, because they're the ones that use it. Why should the ordinary working class man that never goes to these functions pay for it? Let them pay for it, the millionaires who go to all these arts.
Okay, Norman, thank you.
I think it's a very valid point. You know, the fact is that people who consume arts tend to be middle class and quite well heeled, and they're essentially getting their ticket prices underwritten by the public purse. And it does seem patently ridiculous, you know, that the people who consume services aren't adequately paying for them.
But would you not say that, you know, there's 79% of the Arts Council funding does go into the most deprived areas? 55% of the arts funding from the Arts Council goes particularly into schools and hospitals like that. And, it's, you know, we're not working with elites. We're working with all communities right across. There, that may have been an issue, certainly was, a number of decades ago, but I think we've very much moved on from it. The other thing to point out is that over 40,000 people in Northern Ireland are employed in the arts. Like, that is a major 5% of the total people employed in Northern Ireland are involved in the arts, and that's creating jobs. And one of the things that we need, particularly here in job in relation to improving welfare and improving community,
is the more fundamental question here, though, as to whether the public purse should be funding people to essentially take part in their hobbies. You know, many of these arts activities create salaries which are essentially public-funded salaries for people who are engaging in hobby activities.
Okay.
Therefore, you really have to question whether that's an appropriate use of public funds.
Geoffrey, thank you. Niall, thank you. Interesting conversation. Thank you very much indeed.